Hello, everybody. We're on our own again, except that this time they sent me instructions. So I have, I'm pretty sure, rather successfully been able to claim the host status myself, which is a doubly advantageous because it would also seem that they did not get around to posting the sources for today. So I'm going to have to share them with you and hope that they will eventually be posted on the Torah in Motion website. So we'll just make do the best that we can. Let me just give an extra moment and we'll start. Okay. Can you see the, is it visible? Okay, we're good.
Yes. I can see it and I can sing it.
We're good.
We all could sing this one.
So, today we're going to do something a bit different. The songs won't be different. They're the same genre. But we're going to start to focus a little more on individual composers and lyricists. So several of the songs that we will look at today were written or composed by the same person, and we'll get to that in just a moment. But as an opening, I chose this. It's a very energetic song, both in terms of the words and in terms of the accompanying music. In this case, we actually have the testimony of the lyricist himself, Moshe Bick, who wrote that he composed the song in 1928 and that he composed a tune along with the words. That's rather strange because if you take a look, if you can see the Hebrew, it attributes the milim, the words, to Moshe Bick, but it attributes what it calls both the Tirgum, the translation, and the Nusach Ivri, right, to Avraham Levinson, and the Lachan, the tune, again to Moshe Bick. So what we have here is a poem that was written originally in Yiddish, and the composer wrote a tune to the Yiddish words and then gave it over to someone else who translated it from Yiddish into Hebrew. Okay. The interesting thing is that the Avraham Levinson, who is credited here with the Hebrew translation, is not the person to whom the original composer gave the poem to be translated. The composer, the lyricist, Moshe Bick, gave it to somebody else to translate. But when it was given over for publication, the publisher took it and had it translated again into Hebrew and published the second Hebrew translation. And the second Hebrew translation is the one that has become the standard. So let me take us over to here, and we can both see the words and listen to the song at the same time. Given that this is a worker's song, Nivna Artzeinu, we will build our land, Eretz Moledet, our homeland, Kilanu Eretz Zot, because the land belongs to us, Zetzav Damenu, it is indeed the imperative or the command that flows within our blood, Zetzav HaDorot, it is again the fulfillment of an imperative that we've been carrying for generations. And since it's a worker song, of the several options that are available, I've chosen to listen to it by what's called a Makelat HaPoalim, a workers' chorus.
Can you turn it up a little bit? Thank you.
So there's something I'd like to point out regarding the words. You can see that I highlighted one small passage in the Hebrew text. Just once again to go over it, it's an invocation. It invokes and actually evokes as well people to come and to contribute to the rebuilding of the land. And if you look at the fifth line, it says, Nivnartzenu, we'll build our land. Al af kol machrivenu, in spite of all those who rather would see us destroyed. And then it says, Nivneh artzenu, we'll build our land, b'choach ritzonenu, by force of our own will. Now, of course, this is a characteristic Zionist theme. There's no better analog for it than the famous line, Im tirtzu, Enzo Agada, right? Meaning it's a matter of ratzon. It's a matter of will. And anything that you can apply the force of your will to it, then it's not an Agada. It isn't merely a fairy tale, but it actually becomes a reality. And the reason that I'm pointing it out is that when I was taught the song, I was taught a different version to it. I grew up in a religious Zionist youth movement, and not that we belittled the koach of ratzon, the force of will, but we sort of thought that the force of will kind of eclipsed the additional force, which is the divine imperative. And therefore, when I first learned the song, I learned it as Nivne Artzenu Alaf Kol Machrivenu, Nivne Artzenu. I don't know if anyone else knows that. Be'ezrat Eloheinu, right? With the assistance, with divine assistance. And it wasn't until I actually looked up the words for the first time that I realized that I'd been singing a kind of bowdlerized version of it. And you can see the concluding lines in both paragraphs are pretty much the same. It talks about, in one, it says, Esh Cheirut Bo'eret, the flame of freedom shines or is bright. Hod Tikva Mazheret, there is a shining aura of hope. And here again, the allusion to the HaTikva, okay. Banu, all of these things, the hope and the freedom, Yasiru Hadam, they have caused our blood, as it were, to course in our veins. Tzmei Cheirut, we are thirsty, pardon me, we are thirsty for freedom, Komimiyut, for being able to stand up erect, to be independent, Nitzad Ba'oz, and with strength, we will march forward, Likrat Shechur Ha'am, towards the emancipation of the Jewish people.
Wasn't there a company that was called the Cheirut?
It was a political party.
Oh, that's it, yeah.
Yeah, the political party that Menachem Begin stood at the head
of
called the Chayrut party. Chayrut, like tikva, is one of those words that has different meanings depending upon how you look at it. As does the word chofshi. There was a line in Hatikva, liyot am chofshi ba'artzeinu. There is, however, unfortunately, a Talmudic idiom which talks about somebody who is chofshi min ha-mitzvot, somebody who frees himself of the yoke of obligation, of religious obligation. And therefore, there are people who wouldn't sing the Hatikva liyot am chofshi, because to them the word chofshi conjured up the throwing off of the yoke of Torah and mitzvot. So in fact, there are places, and there may very well still be places, in which you might hear people singing liyot am kadosh biartzeinu instead of liyot am chofshi. The word chayrut has that same kind of mixed message, because in the Mishnah in Pirkei Avot, it says, it's actually drawn from last week's Torah reading. It talks about the Aseret HaDibrot, the Ten Commandments, being engraved on the tablets. And the term that the Torah uses is charut al haluchot. Charut means engraved. But the Mishnah in Avot makes a word game, and it says, al tikre charut. Don't imagine that the word is actually engraved, but that the word is chayrut, freedom. And it says, ki ein lecha ben chorin ela misha oseg b'torah. Because true freedom, true emancipation, comes only when one acts in accordance with the Torah, rather than when one, as it were, would throw off the yoke of the Torah. Okay. Here is where we get into the work of an individual composer or lyricist, and that is Yaakov Orland. I'll have something to say about in a moment, but let me first introduce the song and introduce the background. This song is called Hatender Noseya. I'm sure those of you who are of my age might actually remember the American song, Love Me Tender, Love Me Sweet. It's not this tender. This tender is neither an adjective nor an adverb. It's actually a noun. The Hebrew word for a pickup truck is a tender. And Hatender Noseya is a description of a particular kind of pickup truck, one that was equipped to carry passengers. And in this case, the passengers were of a very distinctive sort. Following the riots of 1936 to 1939 in Palestine, the British established a mobile Jewish auxiliary police force to assist in the defense of Jewish settlements and Jewish populations. And this auxiliary police force, which was one of the predecessors of the Palmach, right, were the backbone of the Jewish Yishuv's defense against Arab riots and marauders. And eventually it became the nucleus of the regular army in 1948 when the War of Independence broke out. Yaakov Orland, who you see his name here as the lyricist, was a member of this mobile auxiliary police force, which would travel around in pickup trucks called tenders. Hence the song, Hatender Noseya. Yaakov Orland was a rather gifted lyricist, and we're going to look at several of his songs today and in coming weeks. As a matter of fact, there's even a whole book that I was able to get out of the library, a whole book about the songs of Yaakov Orland. And I was rather pleased to discover that there were many of the songs that I would have liked to include in this presentation that actually were written by him. And the advantage to the book is that not only are the words that are published here the original and more authentic words than those that might appear in other editions, but there are also little notes here by the lyricist himself, little personal observations, reflections on his composition of these songs. So here, for example, okay, and this is on the source sheets that you'll be able to get when they get posted, is his comment on this song, Hatender Noseya. And what he writes is that at the beginning of 1939, he joined police force in Jerusalem, mobile police forces. They were called Mishmarot Na'im, mobile forces, and they were known by an acronym of MAN. And they, of course, came into existence, as I said, already in 1936 when the riots began. In 1939, however, when he joined, he was asked, because he was always recognized as a lyricist, he was asked if he would compose a song for a theater group, okay? For a theater group. The theater group, as you can see, was called Hamatate, the broom. So he wrote the words, and the tune was contributed by Moshe Vilensky, one of the best known and most widely represented composers of his time. And the first person to have sung the song publicly, he identifies as a Yemenite woman named Esther Gamlielit. And here I actually was able to find the a version of the song actually being sung by the same Esther Gamlielit, who was the first one to sing it in public. So let me just a moment. Let you in. We can look quickly at the words. So again, this mobile auxiliary police force would travel around in these tenders, in these pickup trucks. So the words go, Haderech, the road that they have to travel, Korachok is a long road, Rachoku Mistareya, it unfolds along the way, and it goes all the way from Nachal En Charod, all the way, it says, Harchekad Hayareach, all the way up to the moon, obviously just a term of hyperbole. Hine halayla kva yarada la kibbutz, it's already nighttime. Rak ora kochavim eir, the only ambient light is the starlight. Romeis bachutz, which doesn't really do anything more than just suggest what is available, meaning it's just a dim light. Shchor halayla, the darkness of light, kvar yarada la kineret, is already descendant upon the Kineret Sea. And here is a young woman who is speaking to the soldiers, and she is saying to the police and saying, Kachuni na itchem, take me along with you, achai, my brothers, ani omeret. Sauni na itchem, take me along with you, pick me up and take me along, atem habachurim, you, the young men. Sauni na itchem, me'ever laharim, take me to wherever you're traveling. Ve'em omnim elai, and what do these auxiliary policemen reply? They say, Ali, get up, climb up into the tender. Ki at yafako, right? Because you're good looking. Ki bishvilech nisa lisdom v'gam la'ako. And wherever you want to go, we'll take you. We'll take you as far south as Sodom. We'll take you as far west as Ako. Ki bishvilech nisa kulam. We'll travel to wherever you want to go. Af l'makom sha'od einenu ba'olam. In fact, if you want, we'll take you to a place that doesn't even exist yet. And here's the refrain, Hatender Noseya, Hatender Poratz. The tender is traveling, it's going quickly. Misdot Yam HaMelach, from as far south, Adein HaMifrach, to the Haifa Bay in the north. Halayla Lelafel, it's a dark night. Hatender Malayla Milel, and a Malayla Milel, of course, is a biblical phrase. What is the night whispering? What does the night hold in store? And here, as you can see, the Bitsua, the performance in this case, is indeed from the same Esther Gamlielit, who in 1939 or thereabouts was the first one to sing the song in public.
Can you please make it louder? Cannot hear it.
Okay.
Okay, let me point out a couple of things. The second stanza, the one that we just heard, is obviously not specific to the situation that existed in Palestine in the 1930s and the 1940s. It's somewhat of a universal theme, a young woman and soldiers, and she finds them attractive and they're attracted to her, and this one promises this and this one promises her that. It's basically just the adaptation of a universal theme. We saw this, in fact, in the previous class 2 weeks ago when we looked briefly at the song about the Yosef Trumpeldor and his death in defense of Tel Chai. Where it was again an adaptation of a Russian thing, the description of the young man and he's taken away in the bloom and in the glory of his youth, etc. And there are other such songs, one of which is on my list, my to-do list for this class, and that's called Hayo Hayu Shnei Chaverim, a song again about two soldiers, buddies who go out to war together. And that, too, as we'll see when we come to it, is not so much an original composition as it is an adaptation of a universal theme. So this, again, is the first song that we have encountered by Yaakov Orland. And here coming up is another song by the same lyricist. As you see, again, this is called Shir HaMagen VaHameri, Magen Defense, Meri Rebellion. 1943, of course, is pretty much the title speaks for itself. It's the period of time that there were any number of organizations, both official and unofficial, official on behalf of the Yishuv and unofficial working independently of it to not only in defense of Jewish settlements and populations against Arab marauders and the like, but also to unsettle the British and to try to bring a close to the British mandate. And Yaakov Orland, who was active, as we just saw a moment ago, in the auxiliary police force in Hatender Nosea, was also active in this movement of Magen VaMeri, So he wrote this song, and again, let's just look at his own notes about the song. As you can see on the bottom, he said as follows. He said the song was composed during the time that these I don't know what to call them, insurgencies, I guess is a technical term for them, were active against the British, when many of the of these anonymous fighters were frequently imprisoned by the British for long periods of time, both in prisons in Israel as well as in internment camps outside the land of Israel. Some of them, particularly if they were caught in the act of in an act of insurrection, were even executed for it. And then he says that in 1953, another theatrical group called Ohel presented a play that he, Yaakov Orland, had written. The play was called Ha'ir Hazot, this city, and the theme of the play was Matzor Yerushalayim, the siege of Jerusalem during the Israeli War of Independence, during Mohammed Ha'atzma'ut. And Mordechai Zeira, who, like Orland himself, was born in Eastern Europe and came to Palestine as a child. Mordechai Zeira then wrote the musical accompaniment, and the song Shir HaMagen VaHameri was included in this play. So the words, not too many of them this time, again, Balaila, at night, Be'en Or, when there's no ambient light, Darchu Kochvei Einayach. So again, the only available light was that which sparkled from the eyes of a woman. Bakelo Vasigor, even in prison, Parchu Kanfei Onayich. That's a difficult Talmudic expression to explain. Kanfei Onayich is something really imaginary, but it's taken as a symbol of freedom. So Parchu Kanfei Onayich, that even people who were in prison, if they thought of this woman with the sparkling eyes, probably enjoyed a moment of respite from their incarceration. Mimar tefim ubor, and from where they were hidden in basements and in caves or pits. Hivkiu charonayich, their thoughts of her burst forth. Hoiman ginat hadror, and thoughts of what? Dror of freedom. Ashrei moronayich, and those who celebrated freedom were rejoicing. Milaila at kumi va'ori, arise even during the night. V'cherev nakam la chagori, and gird the sword of vengeance about your waist. V'shir lefi cherev zameri, and have some sort of a battle cry in your mouth. And what kind of a battle cry? Chomat hamagen v'hameri, in defense of the yeshuv, in defense of the Jewish population, the magen, the shield, v'hameri, and the not merely taking defensive actions, but carrying out offensive actions, as you know, of course, right? That's what the Gipper always said, a good offense is the best defense. Okay, so here we have the Shir HaMagen VaHameri. And let me let you into it. Okay.
Bein or darechu kochvei einayich bakele uvasigor darechu kanfei yonayich ba'amar tefim uvor ivekihu haronayich ho yeman ginat hadror asherei meron einayich asherei meron einayich Milaila milaila kumi vemori vecherev nakam lachagori chagori Milaila milaila kumi vemori vecherev nakam lachagori chagori Milaila milaila kumi vemori vecherev nakam lachagori chagori Veshir lefi cherev zameri zameri חומת המגן והמרים. הלילה בעין אור תרחו כוכבי עיניים, הכלא הוא הסגור ערכו כנפי יונייך, המרתפים הוא אור, היבקי הוא חרונייך, הוי ימן גינת הדרור, אשרי מרון עינייך, אשרי מרון עינייך. ומי לילה מיני לחגורי ואורי, חרב נקם לחגורי חגורי, מלילה מלילה תקומי ואורי, חרב נקם לך חגורי חגורי, מלילה מלילה תקומי ואורי, חרב נקם לך חגורי חגורי, ושיר לפי חרב זמרי זמרי, חומת המגן והמרי.
While it was playing, I was looking at my notes, and I saw something that I might not have taken any note of a year ago. Both Yaakov Orland, and in this case Mordechai Zeiro, so both the lyricist and the composers of this song, actually were born in the Ukraine. Moshe Wolenski, whose tune we heard previously, actually was Polish. But these two composers and lyricists also shared a birthplace. And while we're on the subject of Magen and Mary, Mary, the Hebrew Mary, rather than the English Mary, I actually happen to have my own copy of something that I wanted to share with you. If you can see it, right? It's called Mizmorim LaChayal HaYehudi, right? Songs for the Jewish soldier. And I have some pages of it that I can share. Okay. If you see, Ba'arichat Yeshaya Shapira, I don't know exactly which Yeshaya Shapira that was. Very unlikely that it was the Yeshayahu Shapira, who also was known as the Rabbi HaChalutz. But this, it says, Hotzaat Avad Ha'artzi Leman HaChayal HaYehudi. This was published by the National Council for the Jewish Soldier. Which Jewish soldiers? It explains, right? Seda Mizmorim Eile, right? This listing with these selections of songs, Huchan v'ne'erach were prepared al yedei ha'vada ha'bein kivutzatit lipu'ula musikalet. So you can see that the kibbutz movement in Israel, even in 1942, you see this was published during World War II, so it's obviously intended for Jewish soldiers who were serving in the Allied armies, primarily those who were serving with the British Army, probably in North Africa and the Middle East. But the kibbutz movement had a va'ada, it had its own committee, Lepu'ula Musikalet, right, for musical activities. And this inter-kibbutz musical activities council got together and made these selections. And it explains on the right-hand side of the page, Mizmorim Eila, these songs, Hem Etzlenu Nisayon Rishayon, this is the first attempt, L'chibur Shirei Chayalim, to actually compile something called Songs for Soldiers. Vadai Likuyim Hem Bechomer b'chasar, b'chasar uviyeter. And he said, surely he says that everybody will find either some songs that they think don't belong or other songs that weren't incorporated. Terem notzra b'tochenu masoret rabat shanim b'havai tzva'i. After all, they say in 1942, the Jewish settlement in Palestine did not yet have a tradition, a military tradition. And therefore, there is no fixed notion yet of just what songs, wartime songs are. Ulam nirelano, however it appears, ki choveret zot shamesh truma, that this booklet nevertheless will be a contribution, litavut ha-masoret hazot, to the development of this tradition, ulafatzat shirei ha-moledet v'hatzava, and to the dissemination of songs about the homeland and songs about fighting, the Kerov HaChayalim HaYehudim, amongst Jewish soldiers. And here is just a list of the songs that are in here. And I've chosen some of them to illustrate, but I want you just to take a look at the table of contents page on the right-hand side. Now, obviously, God Save the King is not a song of the Moledet, and it isn't a song, a Jewish song. But obviously, as I said, this was intended primarily for soldiers who were serving in the Allied armies. Therefore, it includes in it God Save the King, Rule Britannia, and for those who might be serving in the American army, right, Columbia, the gem of the ocean. And since there were Jewish soldiers in World War II in the Soviet army, it includes a Shir Sovieti, a Soviet song, as well as a song in French for those who are fighting with the Free French, Shiret Tzarfat HaChofshit, as well as a Brigada Carpathian, a Carpathian song for those serving with the Polish Free Forces. The last one in this category was some sort of Czech song. Okay. Some of them, the ones on the left-hand side of the page, have musical notes, so that if indeed there were soldiers who could read music and who had access to a piano or to a flute, to some sort of musical instrument, then even if they didn't know the song, they could learn it. The ones on the right-hand side, as you see, are called Shirim Bli Tavim. Those are songs where you simply have the words and no musical notes. Okay. So the very first song in the booklet, Se'u Tziona Nes Vadegel, again an adaptation of a verse in the book of Yeshayahu. Degel Machane Yehuda, we looked at this song very early on, right? Mi Barechev, Mi Baregel, whether you're traveling, as it were, in a chariot, or whether you're going on foot, meaning you could be in the tank corps, you could be in the infantry. Nas Na La Aguda, we all get together and we carry together the banner of Tzion, the banner of Zion. So in a sense, a way of opening up with a reminder to or an invocation to Jewish soldiers that wherever they happen to be geographically, in whatever army they happen to be serving, they shouldn't overlook the fact that they also have a common Jewish identity. We also saw this song, the Zemer HaPlugot, the one that was written by Nathan Alterman. Zemer HaPlugot, right? Remember that one? It's Zemer HaPlugot, Nashir Lalim, Mazkeret, right? And this, of course, Afel Afel HaWadi, HaMishmar HaChein. Wadis, of course, are more typical of the land of Israel than they are certainly of places in which Jewish soldiers might have been fighting in Europe. Okay. We, of course, looked at HaTikva. And you can see that by now, the original 9 stanzas of HaTikva have been rather conveniently reduced to essentially 1 stanza and the refrain. And then the words to God Save the King, the words in Hebrew, right, to rule Britannia. And I'll just take a moment to pause on this one. I'm sure you all know the tune, but you probably never heard it sung in Hebrew. I could not find a recording of it, so you're welcome to either just listen to me or to sing along if you want. But you all know it goes like this. O Columbia Pe'er Ha'okyanus, Mishkan Ha'cherut Ve'ha'oz, Bishmech Yikaru Toshavayich, Olam Lach Yiten Kavod Va'oz. Right? Columbia, the gem of the ocean, the home of the brave and the free, etc., etc. Rather interesting to see it here. I had never before seen it. Didn't even know, wouldn't even have thought that somebody had ever composed a Hebrew version of it. You might notice as well, as long as this is something that we look at from time to time, that throughout this booklet, as well as throughout the songs that we've been looking at until now, with that one exception that we saw of Al Sfat Yam Kinneret, every time you have musical notations, they read from left to right. Okay? The Sfat Yam Kinneret was an exception to it, and it was on the basis of that exception. You may remember that a musicologist was able to make an important deduction about whether it was written to be pronounced properly or whether it was meant to be pronounced with a Yiddish inflection. So this is the what I wanted to show you from this little booklet. Is there anything more? I think there might be one additional page, or this basically is. No. Oh, yeah. So there are a couple of more pages. Here are some songs without musical accompaniment. Bottom right hand, of course, an all-time favorite, Kuma Echa, right? Everybody arise, Sova Sov, go around in a circle. Al Tanucha Shuva Shov, don't stop, don't rest. En Kan Rosh, in a circle, En Kan Rosh, En Kan Sov, there's no beginning or end to a circle. Or if you wish to look at it the other way, everybody in the circle could consider themselves the Rosh. Yad El Yad El Ta'azov, keep holding hands, clearly intended to be sung by people in a Hora circle. Yom Shaka, the previous day the sun has set, Yom Yizrach, and yet it will rise again tomorrow. Anu Nefe Nachal Ach, just as we are now holding hands, right, and we are joined together, we will turn to one another. Min HaKfar, whether we live in villages, Min HaKracho, whether we live in cities. Bacherme Shuva Anach, whether our profession is agricultural, chermesh, something having to do with agriculture, uva anach, or whether we're in the city and we're working in construction. The one above it is the one to which I want to draw our attention now, and I'm sure you'll have no trouble realizing why the moment you look to see who the lyricist was. Lyricist is now our old friend, Yaakov Orland, right? The one who composed the words to the Shir HaMagen VaHameri, who composed the words to the HaTender Nosea. And here we have Yaakov Orland as the lyricist for a song whose official name is Hora Mechudeshet, a new, renewed Hora, not the old Hora, right? But a new Hora. And it's probably better known, by the opening words, Rad HaLaila. And as you will see in just a moment, that is a misnomer. Okay. As you can see, the words that Yaakov Orland wrote are Rav HaLaila. Okay, Rav HaLaila. The night is still young, so to speak, right? There's plenty of nighttime left. Rav Shireinu, and that's good because we've got a lot to sing. Okay, but I imagine that what happened here is what frequently happens when people either don't hear it clearly, or if they stop to think about it, they say, I probably didn't hear it right, because what's Rav HaLaila? There's an expression, Rad HaLaila. You talk about the sun setting, right? The nighttime has descended. Darkness has descended. And therefore, people just popularly assumed that the words were Rad HaLaila. But as you can see here, it's really Rav HaLaila. Rav HaLaila, as I say, the night is young, there's plenty of nighttime. Rav Shireinu, we have a lot of songs to sing. Habokeh LaShamayim, and our songs, as it were, will pierce the heavens. Shuvi, Shuvi Horatenu, and he addresses the Hora, and he says, come, return, Mechudeshet Shivatayim, and renew itself sevenfold. That's why the official name of the song is Hora Mechudeshet, right? The renewed, or revived Hora. Shuvi, shuvi v'nasov, if you return, we'll all be able to go about together in a circle. Ki darkenu ein lasov, and again, there's no beginning or end to a circle. Ki od nimshechet hasharsheret. In fact, circles can be compared to chains, right? If you have links between a chain, links between each other in a chain, then there really is, all of the links are equal to each other. Ki libenu lev echad, we are all together with one heart. Me'olam va'adeyad, it has been forever and forever. Ki od nimshechet hasharsheret, because the chain, arguably the chain of tradition, continues on. By the way, ki libeinu lev echad, it sounds like a very folksy expression, right? United with one heart. But again, Yaakov Orland had not only a religious education, he came from a religious family. We'll actually look at his own reminiscence about this song. Okay, And it's not at all unlikely that when he wrote the words Libenu Lev Echad, what he had in mind was a very singular comment of Rashi. When the Jewish people gathered together at the foot of Mount Sinai, awaiting the revelation of the law, the Torah's description of it is syntactically awkward. It uses the plural form to say that they traveled from one place to another and set up camp, but then it switches from the plural to the singular, and it says, Vayicham sham Yisrael neged ahar. And Israel, he in the singular, encamped there facing the mountain. And of course, there are any one of a number of simple ways to explain why a verse might use both the plural and the singular. But Rashi brings a midrashic explanation, which is that when the Israelites gathered at the foot of Mount Sinai, awaiting the revelation of the law, they were ki'ish echad uvelev echad, that they were so united in purpose that it was though they were but a single body with a single heart. And as I say, giving Yaakov Erlan's background and family relationships, not at all unlikely that this was what he had in mind. Now, let me switch us back for a moment to the source sheet and read together with you his comments on this song. Okay. I can make it a bit larger. Here we go. Watch this. Yaakov Orlin writes as follows. He says, my late father was a very religious man who went to shul every day, okay, on Shabbatot and on Yomim Tovim. He would return from shul, kulo zemer upiyut chadash, filled with new tunes and new prayers, new poems that he had heard, shepizem latzmo, which he would be singing to himself. Ella, however, he says, sheshmiata lo haita absolutit im ledaber b'lushon ham'ata. He says, to say the least, my father didn't really, you know, didn't have a good musical ear. Tom, he says, on one occasion, chazami beit ha'kneset, he returned from shul, va'al svatav nigun chasidi, right? He was humming a chasidic tune, Shashama mipi chaside harabi mi boyan, which he heard in the boyana shtibel, beveit midrasham shebchatzar Orenstein shebirushalayim. That's somewhere in the vicinity of Me'ah Sha'arim. There was a beit midrash, a shtibel of the boyana chasidim, and this is where his father would go, certainly on Shabbatot and Chagim, and one day his father returned humming a nigun that he had heard. Panav zarchu bizamro. And his face was glowing, right? He was so enjoying the tune. Va'achen hayaze nigun malei arga. He says it was a very attractive tune. Im eish tzorevet bichnafav. But it was a passionate tune, he says. Amarti lavi. So Yaakov Orlin, the lyricist, says to his father, Ulai achaber lecha kama milim lanigun hayafeh hazeh. Maybe in order to help you remember this tune, because it's easier to remember a song than it is to remember a tune, I'll write some words to this beautiful tune. Kedei lishmor al hazemer shelo yimad v'yachlik lecha min hapasim, so that you shouldn't forget it. The Acheni says, indeed, kach hasiti. These are the words that I wrote. V'nolad lanu Rav Halayla. That's how the song Rav Halayla came into existence. Shechashti bo me'ein chishul sharsheret. And why the emphasis here on the sharsheret, on the linkage? Because he said that somehow, having written this for his father, and his father having heard the nigun in a Hasidic Beit Midrash, somehow he said he recognized within the song some sort of a sharsheret, ben hadorot hamizamrim ba yahadut, amongst the different generations, passing along tunes and songs to one another. We're going to listen to this one today, but we're going to devote a session, probably next week if I can complete all the work on it, it's a pride of lions in a school of fish. I don't know what it is of songs, a clutch of songs. And if somebody can come up with a better word, we're going to look at
an opus. An opus is a collection of compositions.
A collection.
Oh, an opus.
Share it.
We'll look at a bunch of songs. All of which share the property of having been sung, if not even originally composed, to Hasidic Nigunim. So here, we'll go to Rad HaLaila. In fact, just to make it even a little more fun, I'll pick the one here, the performance, which is an audience. Shira b'tzibur, b'hadrachat efi netzer. I should say a quick word. Songs in Israel, I don't know so much today. I'm sure that there are popular songs in Israel that you'll hear in every discotheque. But once upon a time, and to a lesser extent even today, people would get together to sing folk songs. And efi netzer was a particularly popular host at these Arve Shira, evenings that were dedicated to singing songs of, you know, of bygone days. And there's a little bit of repartee here between the MC and the audience. Okay. He's saying to the audience, if you know a harmony, right, a second part, a harmony, that's okay. But no more than a two-part harmony. Right, he says that there are people who sometimes like to butt in, then make a third harmony, a fourth harmony. He says, no, he says, you want to join in? He says, it's okay, but just a two-part harmony. Here he goes. I don't know how many people who still sing this song would appreciate the fact that the Sharsheret here is really the Sharsheret HaMasoret, the chain of tradition, and that the song was written to a Hasidic tune. But in any event, as I said, we'll next week, Mirtza Hashem, we'll be able to look at even more songs that share, at least with this song, that share the property of having been having the tunes having been composed to Hasidic Nigunim. Let me take a quick look at the chat. I'm sorry, as I said, that the thing that they weren't posted yet. I'm sure they'll be posted shortly. Camp Masad, Ontario, the Dati version was sung, as I said. So Nekiva wasn't alone in that. Okay. I think it's probably British. Everything in Israel automotive until really the 1980s was British. If you learned to drive in Israel, you had to know what was the gaz and what was the clutch and what were the brakes in. If you want to tell somebody to do go quickly, it was maximum gaz, minimum clutch. In fact, I read an article in an Israeli journal in the late 1980s. It was done by a sociolinguist who examined three populations in Israel in terms of whether they recognized or used the official Hebrew words for parts of the car. He examined the general public, college graduates, and auto mechanics. And the only ones who recognized and used the official Hebrew words were the auto mechanics. But because in order for people to be able to get their cars fixed, they had to communicate with the auto mechanics, he was kind of hopeful that the general public would now learn more of the official Hebrew words as well. So I suspect that tender must be what pickup trucks, or that style of a pickup truck, was known in England. Kanfei Ona, name of a girl's school. Yes, Kanfei Ona, as I said, it's a Talmudic phrase. there's a character in the Talmud called Yona Baal Knafayim. It's a complicated thing to explain. I apologize. Send the link for the Zionist film. The links, okay, yeah, I'm sorry. I will send it to you. I will copy this out now. The links are all in the source sheets. So if you have the source sheet, I will send it to you separately. But if you don't want to wait for my email, it was, if I'm not mistaken, it was for Shir HaEmek. If you go to the entry on the source sheets for Shir HaEmek, there should be a link to that segment of the film. I don't have the whole film, but I have a link to that segment. But as soon as we get off, I will send it to you separately.
Thank you so much.
Okay. Whether the word shir is related to sharsheret, Steinzel used it in his commentary on shir hashirim. So shir hashirim would be sharsheret hasharsharot. Okay, I'll have to look at that. It certainly would be acceptable to Samson Raphael Hirsch. To Samson Raphael Hirsch, as long as two letters in each of the words matched, that was enough. The fact that there was a third letter and it wasn't the same in both words didn't seem to bother him. Okay. All right. Okay. There we go. Thank you all so very much. Next week, same time, same place. Have a pleasant interval.
Delightful morning. God. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Do you know in the car, it was always called the back axle. Do you know what the front axle was called?
Back X Kid Me.
Back axle Kid Me.
Yep,
nice.
Yep, there you go. 100%. Thank you. Thank you for that reminder.
Yeah. Do you know the song Lo Nafsik Lashir?
Indeed. Hmm? Indeed. As I said, there are so many songs, but, you know, jot it down and we'll see if we can do it.
Wonderful. Lo Nafsik Lashir.
Even if we don't get to the song, it'll certainly be our motto.
Good.
Okay. Bye, everybody.
Bye. Thank you.